Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Every time I drive I-5 and I pass that baseball stadium, the Salem Kaiser Volcano Stadium, I think, you know what? I love seeing a baseball field. I love a diamond. I love a stadium. There have been a lot of people in recent weeks who have told me or asked me, like, what's going on with the volcanoes? They were seemingly left out of the new restructuring plan by Major League Baseball, Minor League Baseball, the Giants organization. Maybe Major League Baseball decided, I don't know who decided it, but the Giants and the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes that were once a happy marriage are no more. What's going on with the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes? Here to talk about it, their CEO, he's 23 years old, Mickey Walker, joining us today. 23, man, when I was 23, I was in a bar, I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, first of all, John, thanks for having me on. You know, I can't say that sometimes it isn't a little overwhelming, but heck, you know, I've spent my whole life around the stadium here, and I'm excited to be in a spot where I can make a difference.
You're making a difference. I want to get to what you're doing about it, but let's go back to kind of the restructuring of the minor league baseball system. At what point did your organization get an inkling that, you know, things might be changing?
Yeah, so the first time we were made aware of this was at our Northwest League meetings in the fall of 2019, and we knew something strange was going on because the president of minor league baseball, Pat O'Connor, was coming to our Northwest League meetings, which is something that just never happened. And that's when it was first announced to us that Major League's plan was to contract the minor leagues and eliminate the Volcanoes as well as the Tri-City Dust Devils at that time.
Did you get that news from the Giants? Did you get it from minor league baseball? Did anybody look you in the eyes, Mickey, and say, hey, you know, you're not in our plans. We're breaking up with you.
Well, you know, Pat O'Connor is the one who broke the news to us, and he was the president of minor league baseball at the time. But he was very adamant that minor league baseball was not going to be split up, that they were going to remain 160 teams strong. And obviously that wasn't the case. And, you know, through our conversations with Major League Baseball, they basically said that it was up to the Giants. And when we talked to the Giants in the winter meetings of 2019, they said they had absolutely no interest in going through with the plan. They didn't support the restructuring process. And, you know, everyone just ended up pointing fingers at each other. And I still have no idea whose ultimate decision it was.
We're talking to Mickey Walker, CEO of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. You grew up in that stadium, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I was born in 1997 in October, right after the inaugural season of Volcanoes baseball. I literally spent every summer of my life here, and not just in a small capacity, but doing every job from shagging home run balls behind the fence for 25 cents a pop during batting practice to bat boying and being on the cleanup crew and picking up trash after the games in the morning. And, you know, concessions, and now ultimately into the front office and into my current role.
The tweet that went out from the Giants December 9th, it listed their new affiliates, Sacramento, Richmond, Eugene, San Jose. Mm-hmm. You had to see that, and what reaction did you have as you saw that tweet?
It was devastating. I mean, it truly was. I think it's hard to put into words the true passion that's gone into this stadium and then into this franchise from my family. And, you know, of course, since, you know, fall of 2019, we knew that it was a possibility, but we held out hope the whole time that we were still going to be involved and still going to be affiliated. And to receive that last crushing blow and via tweet, no less, it was hard. You know, it genuinely was. I can't say that there weren't tears shed on my family's side. It was very emotional.
26 seasons, Tim Lincecum, Buster Posey, Pablo Sandoval, Travis Ishikawa, Sergio Romo, all showed up in Kaiser at some point to play there. So you feel a deep, you know, fondness or connection to the franchise. Now you find yourself on the outs. What are you guys doing about it? Because, you know, I've been hearing some rumblings, Mickey, that you're putting together a league, you're putting together teams. Where does that stand?
Yeah, so we are creating a four-team independent league that is going to play out of Volcano Stadium. All the games will be played out of Volcano Stadium here. You know, we're very fortunate to have the support from the local community and from, you know, some powerful people in baseball to help us be putting this league together. We're going to have four teams in the league. The Volcanoes will be one of the four. The Salem Senators will be one. The Campesinos de Salem Kaiser, which was going to be our Copa de la Diversión moniker for the 2020 season that we didn't get the rollout then, we are going to roll out this year. And then, of course, the iconic Portland Mavericks, which many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with from their Netflix documentary, The Battered Bastards of Baseball. So we were very fortunate enough to be able to purchase those rights from minor league baseball and be able to actually bring the Portland Mavericks back. And so that's what we're doing this year. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to play 96 games out of Volcano Stadium this year. A lot of high-level players, you know, in addition to minor or Major League Baseball cutting the minor leagues by 43 teams, they also only drafted 5 rounds of prospects last year. And this year they're only drafting 20, and normally they do 40. So there are tons of good players that are out there looking for a place to play, and I think we're even going to have some former major leaguers playing at Volcano Stadium this year.
Give me an idea, because short season A ball, which were that's where you were, I would go to those games. I'm looking at, you know, some draft picks, some guys that had signed. The level of baseball, not the highest level of baseball, but how does an independent league or an independent team differ from maybe a short season A team?
Well, first off, we have a lot more flexibility than the short season A teams. All these teams want to win. And, I mean, they want to win bad. These are guys who are passionate to come out here and show that they deserve a chance to play. When you go to a minor league baseball game, and don't get me wrong, I am not absolutely not saying minor league baseball is not a joy and not a blast, but the first priority of minor league baseball is to develop their players, not necessarily to win games. Winning is secondary. In independent ball, it's the opposite. Winning comes first, and competition is as steep as it can be for that reason. You know, I had it put to me one time before that in minor league baseball, they only put 24 other guys on a roster just so they can hopefully develop that 25th guy who was actually their first-round draft pick. So I think that's the biggest difference between affiliated ball and independent ball.
It gives you some flexibility. How does the roster work? Do you own the rights to the players? Do you sell them to teams if they succeed? How does that all work as a business model?
Yeah, so, I mean, we don't necessarily own the rights to the players. The players are coming here by their own free will. You know, we're going to provide them a place to play. If a major league team wants to come in and sign one of these players, we're not going to do a buyout because, you know, the goal isn't to, you know, make it difficult on these guys to have the opportunity to play at the next level. The goal is to get them there. So our mindset is we're going to make it as easy as possible for them to do it. We're not going to be trying to hold on to players' rights or anything like that. If they play well enough and earn a chance to go to, you know, a major league club or a high-level affiliate, you know, more power to them, and that's why we're here.
We're talking to Mickey Walker, CEO of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Look, I know that you're 23. Why take on this challenge? Why not go somewhere else, get a fresh start, you know, not have to deal with the headache of starting something from scratch? What are you getting out of this, Mickey?
You know, more than just the fact that I feel like this is what I've always been meant to do from, you know, the moment I was growing up with my father being involved here, Oregon and more so the Salem Kaiser area, it's my home. I've lived here for all 23 years of my life. I live in a house now that's just, you know, a few blocks away from my very first house here. So this is my home. It's where I'm raising my family, my two daughters. This is where I plan to stay. And I plan to make it as great as it can be here, as opposed to looking for greener pastures elsewhere, because this city, this state, this community, it deserves high-level baseball. It deserves high-level entertainment. And, you know, I'm dedicated to making sure that baseball's around this area for decades to come. And that's ultimately why I'm here, because I truly believe the community deserves it.
there's such a cool promotion angle with minor league sports in particular, but especially minor league baseball. And you guys have been created over the years. And I know you ran some high school tournaments there. You even turned the stadium into an Airbnb. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we did that last summer. And I got to tell you, I couldn't even imagine how wildly successful that turned out being. I think we had close to 150 bookings or something like that over the 2020 season. When I told Jerry I thought this was a good idea to move forward with doing an Airbnb, I think he thought I was crazy. And with the way it turned out, you know, he may have been right. It was wildly successful, and I had a lot of fun hosting an Airbnb guests here.
Where if I rent that out as an Airbnb, what am I getting? Use of the stadium? Can I take batting practice? Am I sleeping in the dugout? What's going on with that?
We open it up for you, basically everything. We open up our 5,200 square foot hitting facility. We open up the home team clubhouse, the same clubhouse that Buster Posey, Tim Lincecum, Pablo Sandoval, all those names you mentioned before were in. We open up the field for batting practice if you guys want to have a game. I mean, it was full deal, and I got to tell you, it was really special to see some folks really appreciate that. I mean, there were some people who probably spent hours just in the locker room appreciating, you know, all the people who had come through there.
The merchandise, I have to think that the Portland Mavericks stuff is flying off the shelves. Like, what has been the response from people as you sort of trot out these four teams?
Yeah, so the response has been incredible on the merchandise side of things. We're just opening up pre-sales for the Portland Mavericks later this week. We had to work with some different distributors to be able to get our merchandise available. As you can imagine, COVID has backed up many of the distributors, but we are going to begin a pre-sale on all Mavericks merchandise later this week. Salem Senators, Campesinos, and Volcanoes lines are currently available. But to be honest with you, it's been crazy the response I had. I had two people just on Monday morning drive all the way down from Portland looking for Mavericks merchandise. And in addition to that, obviously, dozens of calls and, you know, social media interactions. And man, it's going to be exciting to see the Portland Mavericks playing on the field again. Opening day, May 13th, Mavericks versus Volcanoes, 6:35. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love that. We're talking to Mickey Walker, CEO of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. You mentioned Jerry Walker, the owner, president, and GM. That's your dad. And Lisa Walker, vice president. That's mom. This is a family business. Like, how does that dynamic work in your advantage when you guys are making decisions or maybe sitting around the table plotting?
You know, sometimes it is the most wonderful thing in the world to come to work, know that I'm going to be working with my father, knowing that I'm working with people who always have the best interest of the business in mind, knowing that my mother is, you know, in the next office over from me. You know, we can always chat and, you know, be involved in things like that. And other times, you know, it can be quite the challenge, especially if we have different points of view. You know, we're family, so there can be some heated conversations at times. But overall, I mean, it is a true blessing to be able to be involved. It's a generational thing. My grandfather was the first PA announcer and play-by-play radio broadcaster. I have two daughters, as I mentioned earlier, who I plan to be working here as they come in. And I mean, this is a generational thing, and it is the truest definition of a family-run organization.
How can people get information on the league? How can they find you if they want to buy tickets, buy merchandise? Mickey, help us out.
Yeah, so if they want tickets, they can call us at our phone here at Volcano Stadium, 503-390-2225. Also, our website, mavericksindependentleague.com, has all of our seating information, all of our ticket packages, promotional packages. All those things are available there. It's very well done, and you know, we're really excited to be able to roll out 96 games at Volcano Stadium this year. We're really excited for the value we're going to be able to provide not only to our fans but to our marketing partners and sponsors who have stuck with us through this time. I think everyone's going to be pleasantly surprised by the entertainment value that we're able to put on in this coming summer.
What about players? Players who may be hearing this that say, you know, I was with a minor league team. Maybe I'd like to make another run at it. Will you guys hold a tryout, or do you have enough players already?
Well, we do have enough players, but we are hosting a tryout. What we're going to do is we're going to have a tryout on April 3rd here at Volcano Stadium, just like the Portland Mavericks did back in their inaugural season. We're going to have all of our coaches here. They're going to be scouting the players. And then about 10 days after that, we're going to host a draft. And the coaches are actually going to draft the players from the player pool. So if you're a player listening to this and you feel like you still have some juice in the tank and you want to come out and compete, tryouts are April 3rd. There's information about it on the website. And we're going to host a draft, live stream it, and everything like that. It'll be great for fan engagement. And I honestly can't wait. I wish the tryout was tomorrow.
I love it. Mickey Walker, you're fighting a good fight. Keep us updated on whatever's new for the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes in the league that you're running, and keep doing your thing.
John, I really appreciate it, and I'm going to keep fighting for this community, and thank you very much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Mickey Walker, CEO of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes. Again, four teams, 96 games, an open tryout. The kid is 23 years old, and he's putting this together. I don't know where you were when you were 23. I can tell you I was in a college town, probably hanging out in a bar, probably wearing a baseball cap on backwards, with my baseball playing days in the rearview mirror. I got to say, when he said open tryout, for a second I thought, that would be fun. But now I'm thinking I'm probably too old for this. I'm not too old to root for Mickey and the family there. I think it's a great story. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash coming up next. I was trying to think what I was doing when I was 23 years old. I came up with something. When I was 23, I started a league, too. Well, actually, it was a tournament. I put on a flag football tournament in the Bay Area. We had like 50 teams that played in a flag football tournament. It was like a one-day event. We gave everybody a T-shirt. We played, it was tough to find referees, but we found them. And I was thinking about that because this 23-year-old CEO of the Salem Kaiser Volcanoes, he didn't start a flag football tournament. He started a league with four teams. And is selling merchandise and renting out the stadium as an Airbnb. Can you guys imagine Airbnb-ing a stadium? Do you guys like that?
That sounds awesome. I was loving that part of the interview, John, and I wish I knew about this, last summer. That sounded like a great time.
Take batting practice, surprise the kids. Okay, we're going on vacation. Where are you going? Well, we're going to the baseball stadium. Go out in the outfield, wherever you want, run around. Like, I think we'd go for that right now in the COVID world. Or you invite, you get, 8 or 10 or 12 of your best friends, and you go, hey, we're going to go play a game on the field. And you get it all to yourselves. See, they open the whole thing up. You want to sleep? I don't know if I want to sleep in the stadium, though. You guys ever want to sleep in a stadium?
No, I don't think so, man. I'm good.
Yeah, no, definitely not on the field. But I'm sure there's areas in that in the stadium that are pretty nice, though.
I keep thinking about Bull Durham in the scene where we need a rain out, and they create the rain out in the stadium at night. This brings us to our big splash. Let me tell you, it's a big splash.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, the big splash comes out of recruiting. This week, the University of Oregon got a commitment from Percy Lewis, who is the junior college, number one rated junior college offensive lineman. His height, 6'9". His weight, 360 pounds. He's 6'9", 360, Percy Lewis. He's the number one offensive tackle in the junior college level. He comes to Oregon in 2022, part of the 22 class. He comes to Oregon from Mississippi Gulf Coast Community College. He chose Oregon over Auburn and Syracuse and some others. And he is just the latest in a line of community college offensive linemen out of Utah and Arizona and other places that Mario Cristobal has done. Right now, Mario Cristobal has five commitments for the class of 2022. He's got a linebacker, he's got a tight end, he's got a defensive end, he's got a safety, and he has the equivalent of a forklift in Percy Lewis. 6'9". Did I say that yet? 360 pounds. You want a big splash? This guy's going to make a splash. He announced his commitment earlier this week. It came on Tuesday. Here I am a day later announcing it, but I couldn't let this pass. I like what Mario Cristobal is trying to do. You can see very clearly what Oregon wants to be, what they want their identity to be. They got an offensive lineman or an old offensive lineman as their head coach. They are interested in pile driving people. They want to line up. They want to go shoulder to shoulder. They want to pile drive people. They want, at the end of four quarters, to look over at the other team and go, who wants to play another quarter? And the other team going, I'm good. That's what Mario Cristobal wants to do. He's clearly doing it with players that are born and made in the mold of an SEC program. Again, Percy Lewis, community college offensive lineman from Mississippi, goes 6'9", 360. He's coming to Eugene. He will be a welcome addition on an offensive line that will look a lot like an eclipse. Will they be able to throw the ball? Will they be able to run the ball? Will they be able to play defense? I don't know. But when they get off the bus, they're going to scare the hell out of people because they're that big. And that's your big splash. Zach, I got to ask you, 6'9", 360. You line that guy up, and you better have a tall quarterback. But I don't know any running back in America who wouldn't want to be behind that offensive line.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, I think, yesterday, about how once upon a time in the NFL, 300 pounds was big. And this guy's 360, junior college transfer right now, coming into Oregon. And look, John, you can win the Pac-12 with finesse. You know, we've seen it. Chip Kelly, he did it with the speed, with the finesse, the DeAnthony Thomas, Marcus Mariota, Kenyon Barner, LaMichael James. You can outrun them. But if you're trying to compete for a national title, you have to change your identity. You have to be physical. You have to be able to compete with the SEC. And that's what Mario Cristobal is doing. And that's why I've been so excited for Oregon football over the last couple of years with Mario, because this is all Mario coming over, changing the identity of Oregon football. We are now physical, downhill, smash mouth, get out the way.
I don't know if he can run block. I don't know if he can pass block, but I know that it's going to be a chore to run around this guy. Like, I was looking at biggest players who have ever played in the NFL. Aaron Gibson comes to mind. Lions, Cowboys, Bears, Bills, offensive tackle. He went 6'6", 440, okay? So he was a little wider when you get to 4'4". When you get to 440, you're running around things. People talk about Corey Stringer, the late offensive lineman for the Minnesota Vikings. He was 6'4", 335. Ryan Pickett went 340. Albert Haynesworth, you may remember him, 6'6", 350. Again, we're not talking about 6 foot. It's more his height than anything that gets me. Like, we've seen 300-pound guys. We've seen guys that go 330, 340, 350. But in college, to get a guy who's, you know, like, if I'm Dana Altman, I'm going, hey, man, I don't know if you can play, but we might be able to pick up half of that scholarship because we could use a body down below. And you get a 6'9" guy who can get up and down the court. Like, you know, I'd like to see that, but Mario Cristobal, it's evident, like, former offensive lineman, you watch him in the pregame. If you ever get a chance in the stadium to watch the warmups, take your eyes down to the offensive lineman. They're usually working around the goal line in one corner of the end zone in the stadium, and watch Mario Cristobal warm up the offensive lineman. I'm usually watching quarterbacks and receivers and running backs. I have found myself in the Mario Cristobal era a little confused on what I should watch in the pregame, and then ultimately settling on Cristobal as he's warming these guys up. He's a maniac.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.